on a hill overlooking Mosul, a bombed-out deserted mosque hosts the nearest field hospital to the battle.
My name's Pete Reed. I'm one of the founders of Global Response Management, and we are partnered with the Iraqi Special Forces medical teams at a trauma stabilization point. It's the first place that injured civilians and military come.
Now, we've just been down at the front line. We're told that they started an offensive early this morning. What kind of casualties have you had in here today?
We've had a few airstrike victims, gunshot wounds, some crushing injuries from a building that had fallen down, one IED explosion.
And how would you characterize that as in a day here in Mosul during this battle?
This was somewhere between slow and medium. For us, an average day is 10 to 20 patients or less, but days where there are offensives, it can go over 60 pretty quickly. The most we've had in a day was a few months ago, but it was 130. 10 days ago, it was getting up to 60 at our other location and 40s here a day.
Can anybody calculate what the casualties have been like in this city since October when the offensive started?
It's almost impossible at this point. Sometimes we will get dead civilians, but most of the time they're taken straight to a burial ground, a cemetery or a mosque that's near where they died. And then there's discrepancies in the numbers from the TSPs to the receiving hospitals back to Erbil or Baghdad. It's incredibly difficult to calculate.
How would you characterize this battle as if it's been gone on for an awful, awful long time, much longer than anybody would have expected?
I think there was a lot of talk in the beginning about how long this battle would take, but realistically, this seems to be in the time frame, at least that I thought. It's incredibly difficult slog through urban terrain where an enemy has been waiting 2.5 years for them to come in. This is pretty much exactly what it's going to look like.
Have you seen any casualties from the other side, from ISIS?
Yeah, we regularly receive Daesh. We're now shooting. We regularly receive Daesh prisoners. Less now. Both the east and the west side we've seen and treated and stabilized and sent on a lot.
And who were they? Iraqis? Were they from Europe, from elsewhere in the world?
The majority that we have seen have been Iraqi or Syrian, with a few Eastern European countries thrown in the middle, and a few Asian countries that we've been able to tell.
East off the trolley. Let's go.
Just minutes later, a 9-year-old boy, Ahmed, is brought in a critical condition. After 3 years under ISIS, he's already emaciated, and as medics fight to keep him alive, his father wants the world to know what happened.
Missile, airstrike. 47 civilians in one house.
47 people, yani, approximately
9 or 10, we survived.
And everybody else has been killed.
His wife, like, she lost both her feet, you know.
Ma.
Because she was heavy, they couldn't,
And
it's still like fighting, you know, and it's not liberated, their areas, so he said, I can't go now to bring
her back.
So only two kids were with us, one of them this one, and the other dead on our way, like fleeing. So we just left the body there, we covered the body by a rag, and we continued our way. Three of my children
died.
Okay, the oxygen needs to roll with him. Excuse me.
Dr. Mel Brecknell is from Jersey in the Channel Islands, and she's volunteering here.
Yeah, we're manning a trauma stabilization point about 2 kilometers behind the front line in West Mosul, and we're embedded here with one of the Iraqi special forces, and we're working alongside with them receiving military and civilian patients and also primary healthcare people, so people who fled from Mosul, who haven't had medication, food, water for weeks, sometimes months. So we're receiving them all.
Now, you had the boy who came in here, he's in a house, we were told, hit by an airstrike. What do you have to try and do for him?
We're not sure if it's gunshot or shrapnel wounds, but he had a chest injury and he had a brain injury.
What are his chances?
Very, very slim. Even in the best hands, his chances are slim. But now he's got at least 40-minute drive to get to a hospital.
It's very, very difficult. It must be very, very difficult to work in a situation like this.
It's incredibly difficult, but I think the worst thing for me is when the people are liberated and they come running here. And I saw a baby yesterday, a seven-month-old baby who hadn't eaten for weeks. I've never seen such a skeletal child. And I've worked in malnutrition units. And seeing the terror in those people who are fleeing, I can't feel afraid. They're the ones who should be afraid, not me. I'm privileged. And it's a privilege to be able to work with them as well, to try and give something back, because that's what I trained for.
You've been treating people and who come here first. What kind of condition are they in?
The people who are fleeing from the old city of Mosul are in a horrific condition. Most of them have not had access to healthcare, clean drinking water or food for months and months and months. We've heard stories about people surviving on grass, eating cats. I've seen horrendously thin women, men, dehydrated, malnourished children. They haven't been allowed outside their homes. And then we've heard the most horrendous stories where in ISIS-controlled areas, the hospitals were taken over by ISIS, and they were doing the most extraordinarily macabre surgery. They've been doing surgery on people, amputating limbs with no sedation, just a paralytic agent, which we use in anaesthesia. It stops somebody moving, but they can still feel and hear everything. So they were amputating limbs with a person who's just paralyzed, who can't speak, and who can't tell you that they can feel everything.
As the boy is taken away by ambulance, Pete tells me of his chances of survival against the background of distant shelling.
We don't actually know what the mechanism of injury was, but
I think it was a blast.
Sounded like a blast. So it was a blast injury, partially amputated, left leg, mid-calf, both tibia and fibula broken, cranial fracture, burns on his back, abrasions on the right leg, right arm, bruising around the right clavicle. The problem is the hospital he's going to and the best facility is 40 minutes away for him right now.
And what age is he? He's a young boy.
I think he was about 9. I'd put him at 20%, maybe, that he makes it. 5% cerebral spinal fluid coming out of the ears is a pretty good indicator that that's not going to end well. Yeah.
For days, as the Iraqi security forces advanced to liberate the last of this city, they saw few, if any, of the tens of thousands of civilians trapped and prevented from leaving by IS. Then, suddenly, yesterday evening, in one small area, the dam burst and a couple of hundred terrified people came running across no man's land. It was a scene of terror, panic and chaos, with people collapsing as they reached safety and half-starved children screaming in fear. Everyone had a tale of horror to tell.
Okay, he's got bullet holes in his shirt.
They came out. They looked at the ISIS and the Iraqi security forces. They didn't see anything. They decided to run. And when they ran, ISIS started shooting at them. And he says, yesterday, 5 families attempted to flee. 3 of them made it. 2 families were killed by ISIS snipers. 3 of his kids have died. That guy in the...
That man just there, 3 of his...
The dad has made it.
This man lost his sister.
أنا عائلتي.
بيت راتو؟
أختي ماتت غادي. والله غادي.
So he just fled from Zanjani. Says the Iraqi security forces are advancing on the neighborhood, but it's not fully liberated. It says his sister died while fleeing. He was shot. She was shot by an ISIS sniper.
Mm-hmm. His family, like many others, were lucky to make it out alive.
You've seen 4 ISIS snipers were firing towards the families who were trying to flee. قتلوا أي واحد من النازحين؟
والله يقتلون خطية.
When we heard the bullets coming, we're just lay down on the ground just to.
ما نطلع.
And you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 children.
نفس العائلة.
A mother and a young girl.
أكو بعد عوائل. أكو بعد.
6 children.
حياتكم صعبة.
دمرنا لا عدنا أكل لا عدنا شرب.
وقتل.
كله قتل. I was asking how was it life and ISIS? It's just slaughter. We're starving, we're dying. They just destroyed us. All they brought to us is slaughter and killings.
This family lay exhausted on the street. As her husband lay utterly traumatized and shaking from their dash to safety, this woman told me how they had escaped.
They escaped. They were running all together as a family with the kids. With one of the kids falls behind, so she goes back to him, then the sniper shoots at her, she falls down, she says, I could hear the voice of the bullet like flying next to my head. So she hide behind a vehicle parked there, so the people just screaming and running, and the snipers keep shooting. He says there was a kid who was shot in the heart, and he instantly died. So 4 people were injured and 2 died when they escaped. The snipers are Russians because we were seeing them while crossing the halls to take the position. And he says, yesterday, 3 families died while trying to flee. So we attempted to escape yesterday, but we saw the families got shot and dead. Then we decided to postpone it.
Okay.
Thank you.
This family had a little boy who'd been shot by a sniper.
He's been shot by a sniper.
It's a boy, he's about 5.
4 days ago. 4 ايام
صار له 4 ايام يا 5 ايام
كله مات
بمكانه
so an infant was shot in the head and he instantly died on the scene.
What was life like for you under ISIS?
يقول شلون كان وضع تحت سيطره داعش.
موتونا
يقتلونا
يجوعونا.
They starved us. They are monsters. They are monsters. There's no monster like them.
It's the first day of Ramadan in Mosul, and the Iraqi army have launched what they hope to be a final offensive to retake the city from ISIS. We're walking through the narrow streets of the old city with the army, 2 houses which had been occupied by ISIS just a couple of hours before. This house is the new front line, and a soldier told me what was in front of them.
It's no man's land in this school, but the other side is all enemy. So this is the last line of defense here.
How far? 40 meters,
he says. But they have some more squads dispersing all the way here as well in the other houses. This is maybe today or tomorrow we will get an order to breach through this school and clear it out.
Yeah.
And we don't know when it's going to happen yet. So whenever it happens, we're going to go.
In another building, Major Saeed, one of the commanders, told us what had been happening through a translator.
So today, early in the morning at 5, ISOF, like 2nd Brigade of ISOF, like Diyala and Salahuddin, we advanced to Saha neighborhood and we fought, and we are in good situation now.
And how are ISIS fighting? Are they fighting or are they retreating?
Coalition had a big role today. There was some ISIS fighters in the houses and they shelled them. Also, like a suicide car was about to come towards the army, and then they shelled that suicide car also. And still they have some checkpoints, but we are ready for them, and they know they fall, so they are going back.
Are civilians able to escape?
Until now, today, we didn't see any civilian.
قبل هو لازم معالج وياهم يشتغل عويا الشريه الفقر الجبال مثل 3-4
الو.
Major Sai is running his battle with a mixture of radios and mobile phones. The houses on these narrow streets are almost completely deserted by civilians, but we met these men who had stayed behind.
Can I ask them what happened today?
There was a strong advance from from the army. They did a great job. Like, they liberated us safely. And they did a good job. We thank them.
Where is everybody else gone from this area?
Most of the families, they fled when ISIS was here. And so, but we decided to stay because we want to help the army and to give them information.
You're happy to be liberated?
Yes. Farhanin.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Yes, yes. We would to the people came here. خلي يسمحوا لهم يجون هنا للعوائل.
We want civilians to come back here.
We're with the Saladin division, which has suffered 70% casualties in the war against IS. They're exhausted, and after a morning fighting, they're resting up in houses waiting for new orders. As they tell me what's been going on, huge explosions are going off outside. They've been at this for so long, nobody even blinks.
It was good advice. It was great.
How what time did it start? What did you face?
We started at 5 and we had duties. Our duties was like some streets, not the whole neighborhood.
And did ISIS fight you? Did they retreat? What happened?
Those who fought, like, they got killed, and the rest, they fled and they left their cars and weapons behind.
We're told that most of the ISIS people left here are foreign fighters. Is that true?
The percentage now, like, is more foreigners are getting killed, ISIS foreigners, than before.
And do you know where they're from?
Russi, Shijani,
Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Afghan, Chechen, Arabic countries.
For their last stand, IS have cut holes in the walls of houses to allow them to move from one to the other. It's a labyrinth, but this local man hid and stayed behind to show the army through. He told me why he had risked his life to stay.
I am from this neighborhood, from this area here. I'm guiding them to the house to help the army.
ISIS just left a couple of hours ago.
Once the fight started, like, we saw them before the fight, but once the fight started, like, all of them fled and they left their weapons behind.
What was life like for you over the last 3 years here?
So difficult. No education, no healthcare, nothing.
Were you afraid?
خايف هسه؟
لا
ليش؟
مع الجهاز مكافحة الإرهاب ليش نخاف؟
I'm never afraid now because I'm with ISOF.
مع الأبطال ليش نخاف؟
The heroes are with me now. Why I have to be afraid? Some of them, they came from Baghdad, from Nasiriyah, from Amara, from all other towns, other cities from the south. So that's why they deserve a civilian to guide them because they don't know the area very well.